भगवते वासुदेवाय अनयराधितो नूनम् भगवान् हरिश्वरः यन्नो विहाय गोविन्द ऋतो यम् अन्नयद् रहः. When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The name Radha is derived from this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, Text 38. From the words Anaya Radhita, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped. Sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Radharani's holy name in that book. But the secret is disclosed here in the word Aradhita, from which the name Radha has come. Of course, the name Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, or the topmost worshipper. I am sincerely grateful, happy, and most honored to be among all of you in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple once again. This particular incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His two forms, in her two forms, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, has been a shelter to so many of our lives, for most of our lives. The inconceivable challenges, the inconceivable circumstances that we've all been in together as Radha Gopinath Temple has given us shelter. Through it all, personal tragedies and crises, as well as celebrations and joys, community, festivals, happiness, as well as great hardships. Krishna's been with us playing His flute, calling us back to His eternal loving association. And Srimati Radharani, Karuna Mayi, the supreme ocean of compassion, has always been there as our supreme mother, to offer us the greatest treasure of her heart, which is the greatest treasure of Krishna's heart, pure devotional service. Krishna's merciful in ways that are incomprehensible to our intelligence. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharmasyam stapanayataya sambhavami yuge. Krishna incarnates in this world again and again to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish true dharma. Could everyone hear? I don't know if that was a Hindi translation for yes or no. Could everyone hear? Get out here. Howdy, howdy. Krishna incarnates and manifests pastimes, and through the sound vibration, hearing his pastimes, hearing the words that he teaches, such as Bhagavad Gita, the world can always be in the presence of Krishna. On the absolute level, whatever is connected to Krishna is none different than Krishna. Through sound vibration, Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has descended in the sound vibration of his holy names. Nam nam akari jahuva nija sarva shaktis tatra bhutani hamitas madanenaka. Krishna has invested his power, his strength, his beauty, his sweetness, his supreme glories. Sri Radharani and Krishna are forever present within their name. Sijatamam prapatyante tam sthatai vrachanda. And Krishna reciprocates. Radha Gopinath make themselves available according to the sincerity, the dedication, and the surrender in which we approach him as we chant the holy name. Krishna has incarnated as the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The book itself is a deity. By approaching that book and receiving the blessings through the words, the message, in sound vibration, we are with Krishna. And Krishna has come in the form of the Archa-Vigraha, the holy deity. In South India, and Vrindavan, and other holy places, we find sacred deities that have been on their altars for thousands and thousands of years. In Jaipur, Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Govinda Dev was carved by Krishna's great-grandson and was installed by Krishna's great-grandson, carved by Vishwakarma over 5,000 years ago.
It's been worshipped all this time, given shelter. And Srila Rupa Goswami, who is Sri Rupa Manjari, one of the most intimate associates of Radharani and Krishna in the spiritual world, descended into this world to worship Radha Govinda and teach us the worship of Radha Govinda. These devotees, they surrendered their body, mind, words, lives to their duties. And Krishna reciprocated. Some of these deities, according to Puranic histories, are from beginning of creation. The deity of Ranganath was worshipped by Brahma long, long time ago. Krishna standing in these temples, not as a decoration, like people have decorations and statues in their homes. But our greatest acharyas, all of them, they have worshipped deities and taught us how to worship deities. And those, and their deities are still with us, to give us shelter. And the greatest way to worship the deities is not only in regulating our lives around what will give the best pleasure and service to the deities, but by hearing about them, Harikatha, by chanting their holy names in bhajan and kirtan, and by serving those they love, by serving their devotees. And ultimately, they have come to this world to deliver us, and they expect us to share that mercy with others. When we began Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, I believe it was 1988. Before that, we were just living in a tiny little room in the ground floor. 2 years later, somehow or other, we got this place. And Srimati Radharani and Gopinath came. And there was a few devotees. When I used to give class, there was usually 3 or 4 people in the class. And usually only one of them was awake. But Gopinath was there. So still we gave class every day. And now, so many more have come. It was Srila Prabhupada's vision. It was Srila Prabhupada's gratitude. Srila Prabhupada was so grateful for the gift that his Guru Maharaj and Krishna had given to him. And he understood gratitude is not just a feeling. Gratitude is a way of life. We express our gratitude through our words, our actions, our thoughts. When we receive mercy, we show gratitude by following what we have been given and by sharing it with others. And many devotees have taken this blessing very seriously. And gradually, expansion into Pune and to Govardhan Eco Village and Bhaktivedanta Hospital and Nidhi and Nasik and Aurangabad and Nagpur and Kolhapur and many other places. And still, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath playing the flute and blessing us. That is forever. The dilemma of the material world is something new. A new system? Can we just use the old system? Krishna tells in Gita, Bhoktadyam Bhoktadam Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwara Suhritam Sarva Bhutanam Gyapa Mam Shanti Mrichchi. We are all looking for peace. We're all looking for happiness. Krishna gives this simple formula. And there's no way around it because it is the truth. That Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. He's the supreme controller of all material and spiritual worlds. He's the ever well-wishing friend that is within everyone's heart. And everything needs to be done in relation to Krishna. In the mood of service and devotion to Krishna. Bhakti is the natural reality that is ever existing everywhere. Krishna is seeing you and me, and everyone else, and everything else. Always. Krishna hears everything. It's within our hearts. Through his energies, he's in everything. And Krishna is always conscious. There is no aspect of Krishna that is unconscious. That consciousness may be covered from our perception. Parashya Shaktir Vivadaya Vashuryate. But Krishna has multifarious energies and everything that exists are of his energies. And Krishna is the supreme conscious force that is conscious of everything, within everything, outside of everything, and everywhere else. That is God. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti matva vachante mam buddha bhava samantata. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Real wisdom, Krishna tells, is to engage in his loving service. Krishna has three primary energies. The antaranga shakti, the internal energy, which comprises the limitless realm of the spiritual world.
or Indranga Shakti, the external energy. Which includes the Maya Shakti, the illusory potence, and the Jiva Shakti or Tadastra Shakti, the Jiva, who are infinitesimal parts and parcels of Krishna. The Jiva is eternally conscious, like a spark of the sun. Planet, a sun ray gives off human light. The nature of every soul, the source of life in every living being, is Satchit-Ananda. We are seeking eternity, we are seeking knowledge, and we are seeking happiness because that is our nature. Why is it our nature? Because we're part of Krishna. And nothing can change that. But by our free will, we can choose to allow ourselves to be covered. And what is that essential covering? Instead of enjoying the supreme happiness of celebrating Krishna, the proprietor of everything, we want to be proprietors separate from Krishna. We want to be controllers separate from Krishna. We want to be enjoyers separate from Krishna. Krishna is all beautiful. And actually, every jiva, every spirit soul is all beautiful. But if we forget our beauty as coming from Krishna and we call it my own, then our beauty is going to grow old if this needs to die. If we understand my wealth belongs to Krishna, then wealth is eternal. Its manifestations may come and go, but wealth is eternal when we understand it all belongs to Krishna. Our intelligence. There are so many ways to be disconnected from Krishna by thinking in terms of janasya om yamam namati. Thinking in terms of I and mine. Forgetting that ultimately everything is Krishna is the source of everything. He's inside of everything. He's outside of everything. And he's also separate. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, living in his own eternal abode. Just think, Krishna incarnated as Narasimha Deva. Very angry. Nobody had ever seen anyone so angry. Hiranyakashipu used to get angry. Hiranyakashipu, and you would get angry, all the demigods would tremble in fear. But when Lord Narasimhadeva was angry, Hiranyakashipu was terrified. Even Lakshmi couldn't go near. We read about the Viratrupa, the universal form. We read about, you know, various aspects of God that create, maintain, and destroy entire cosmic manifestation. But they don't usually do it in anger. They just do it. It's as we make advancement, we understand whatever they do is an act of love and mercy. We were not so advanced. We connect the power with the love of the Lord. Lord Narasimha was so angry because Brahma was being mistreated. The Lord can destroy all cosmic manifestations just by an inhalation. He doesn't need to be angry. But he manifested that form because he was angry that his devotee was being disrespected. That is the love of the Lord for his devotee. Yes, God is all power. There are so many analogies in various scriptures of the world of the power of God. The Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, describe an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Karuna Dakshani Vishnu. And he creates this Mahatattva where all the ingredients of the entire cosmic manifestation are just in one light circuit. Just one energy. They're all, you know, there. And the Lord simply glances upon it and activates it. Limitless living entities, you and me, the three modes of material nature. He creates sound and creates the ear, the mechanism to hear sound. And then he creates the process of hearing. That's why we can hear. We may think, oh, I am so good, I hear so good, but actually. He creates the medium of taste, the object of taste, the time to taste, and then there's taste. He does everything. What can you see? And then he creates the eye and perceives the light. And then he actually creates the experience of sight. Mind. It
it's not the thing that gives us pleasure or pain. It's how we interpret that thing. Someone was coming to the temple and seeing the beautiful deities of Shishi and Radha Gopinath. And there's nothing more beautiful in all the cosmic manifestations. There really is just absolutely nowhere else to go in the universal creation. If you're seeing Radha Gopinath, that's seeing a statue and we're thinking about where else we have to go in life, then our experience of seeing Radha Gopinath is taking place actually within our minds. So material creation inevitably it is a place where all physical things are destined to grow old, get diseased, and die. I am the jiva, I am that one of Krishna. I am the soul. It's not me, I'm the observer. And yoga is the process of training the mind to see from the perspective of the soul, not to see from the perspective of being influenced by the things of this world. And in Bhakti Yoga, we see the things of this world in relation to Krishna. And in this way, we are seeing Krishna everywhere. We're reminded of Krishna everywhere. And we have an opportunity to show our love for Krishna in every situation.
Hello.
And Krishna, the Paramatma, is watching the Jivatma, watching everything else. So he is the seer of the seer of the seeing. And he promises us that he is our temper, Bhagavan, Rad, Sukhitam, Sarabhagavan. Externally, Lord Narasimha is roaring with an anger the world has never seen in his wrath toward Hiranyakashipu. Hearing about the heart with his nail. Pulling out his intestines. Wow, his bloody intestines. It's a garland on his own body. But within Hiranyakashipu's heart, that same Lord is his sweetest, most ever well-wishing, loving friend. Wanting to give him another chance, and he wants to give him the whole spiritual world. But as the loving friend within, he's doing without what he needs to go through in order to land. And actually, that is the way Krishna is for everybody. Sukhitam Sarabhutanam Jatamam Shankarishna. Krishna is the ever well-wishing friend of every living being. Never leaves us. See. Krishna is under my rule. Because Krishna is under my yasha. He exists for the same reason everyone exists. To be happy. We're part and parcel of Krishna. We want to be happy. Why? Because Krishna's happy. Krishna's supremely happy. And that happiness in its fullest experience is in loving relationships. Krishna's Dharma is the all-pervading energy of God that exists everywhere. He's that divine life beyond birth and death. For once in being, there's total peace. But beyond that, Krishna is the supreme object of love. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikrati. And therefore, in the spiritual world of Krishna, the one supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, and we are not speaking in a chronological way, the one absolute truth is forever. In the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when Saint Krishna is the predominating moiety, and Sri Radharani is the predominated moiety. And moiety, according to my study in the dictionary, it means half. Krishna is the predominating half, and Radha is the predominated half. We're speaking of the one absolute truth. Why are the one truth, the cause of all causes, begun to? To form exchange perfect love. And it is for this reason that all part and parcels of Krishna who are of Tatashta Shakti, it is for this reason that everyone is according to love. Love is ananda. It is the highest pleasure. So whether we are conscious or not of what we're looking for, we're all looking for pleasure. But due to our free will and the various ways we try to find pleasure in this material world, and try to protect ourselves from those things that endanger our pleasure, we become incriminated in the laws of karma and the three modes of it's ghastly sometimes to conceive of ways that people try to find pleasure in this world. To know that every living being is a child of God. To find pleasure by exploiting them. That is in the mode of
depending on the degree, passion, or ignorance. Under the illusion that I am this temporary body that we are temporarily residing in order to satisfy the senses of the body, we're trying to be happy. And the elements of material nature are always oppressing, depressing, and threatening the senses of the body in so many ways. Lord Krishna, who is within our heart, who is the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, the Akila Rasamrita Murti, the reservoir of all pleasure, he sends devotees into this world to teach us what real pleasure is. Real pleasure in its highest, purest, fullest form is the love of Radha and Krishna. The nature of that, Jiva Goswami describes, must be understood to be transcendent to all material considerations. Great sages throughout the ages, they have renounced sexual pleasures. They've renounced owning of properties. They have renounced all the pleasures of this world, even willing to put themselves in the most dangerous situations. Why? Because they want to taste the enjoyment of Brahman, of spiritual pleasure. Shukadev Goswami, he had nothing. He didn't even bother putting on clothes. He just, you know, if somebody gave him some milk, he drank. Otherwise, he didn't care. He lived in the forest. But yet the greatest rishis and sages recognized he's really a person who is experiencing ananda, the highest pleasure. It was the pleasure of Brahman. Even though Sukadeva Goswami was Brahman realized fully, he had absolutely no consideration of enjoying anything of this world when he heard Krishna's pastimes. He became completely transformed with love for Krishna. We read about Lord Chaitanya, how he left everything seeking the pleasure of Krishna. The six Goswamis, from living in beautiful mansions in Ramakeli, they were living on the ground under trees in Sri Vrindavan town. So Jiva Goswami tells the greatest rishis, the greatest sages, they renounced everything of the world to taste the experience of Brahman. Krishna is Parabrahman. He's the supreme Brahman. Would he want to enjoy anything of this world? His enjoyment is in his Ladini Shakti. His foremost enjoyment is in himself, in his manifested form, eternally manifested form, as his pleasure potency, Sri Radha. It is said,
Daibhihi Shukunamayi Mamavaya Turapyaya Mamevamya Prapatyante Maya Metaturati. It is very, very difficult for all of us to overcome the temptations, the fears, the aversions, the impediments that are there in this material world. And it's not that when you become a devotee, they're not there anymore. It's not that you become a devotee, they stop operating. This is the definition or a definition of a neophyte devotee. When I become a devotee, then material nature is going to start operating in a pleasing way. But if you're a devotee or not devotee, material nature is going to act the way it's going to act. And it's not always going to be pleasing. There's Ariyatma Kari Bhotika Adi Daiva Kari. These threefold miseries are there everywhere. And we could try our best to alleviate them. And it's our duty, it's our dharma to try our best, as long as we have these bodies. But it's inevitable we will be overcome. But if we take shelter of Krishna, if we take shelter of Krishna's mercy, then by Krishna's grace, Krishna helps us. He doesn't stop necessarily what's happening. But he gives us the highest experience of our true nature and our relationship with him. Even through all these things. Sometimes we hear the story of Draupadi when she was being stripped naked by Dushasana. When Krishna came as the sari, it's not that Dushasana just all of a sudden disappeared. He was still pulling. He was pulling even harder than he was before when Krishna was there. But Draupadi was feeling shelter in Krishna. And it wasn't the sari that protected her. It was Krishna's presence. She felt Krishna in that experience coming. So it is this love for Krishna, which is the supreme quality of Srimati Radharani that we are all seeking. Krishna is the source of all living entities. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And none different from Krishna is Radha, who is the source of all love, who is the source of all compassion, who's giving, Krishna is giving everyone happiness, and Radharani is giving Krishna happiness. So ultimately, where is our happiness coming? It's coming from Srimati Radharani. This is the extraordinary nature of the topmost gopi, who in this verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is searching for. In context of this verse today, we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Ramananda Rai was, by the caste system of the of that day, he was declared to be a Shudra. He was a governor working in government services. He was a Grihastha. And Lord Chaitanya at the time in his South Indian tour, he's of the highest order of Brahmins. He's a sannyasi. And he's seeking the association of Ramananda Rai. And they meet. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya that this is the person you must meet. After they met, they decided to meet at night in a secluded place. Here is Lord Chaitanya. When he was young in Navadvip, he defeated the Keshav Kashmiri. He proved himself to be the greatest scholar on the planet. He knew the scriptures greater than anyone on the planet. He's Krishna himself in the mood of Sri Radha. He's the absolute truth. He knows everything. But yet, the all-knowing Lord, not just artificially, but it's the nature of the Lord's all-attractive personality. He wants to learn from his devotee. Does that make sense? In bhakti, it makes perfect sense. In gyan without bhakti, it really doesn't make sense. The all-knowing is sincerely from his heart eager to learn from his devotee. So Lord Chaitanya asks, they're sitting together on the bank of the Godavari River in a place called Kavur here near Vishakhapatnam in South India. Place that they said is still there today. Do you remember when we went there?
No.
I remember it was a very hot day. And Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Rai, please, I've come here for my own purification. Please tell me, recite from the holy scriptures, what is the ultimate perfection of life? Previously, Lord Chaitanya's Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. His literary incarnation is Vyasadeva. He wrote all the Vedas. Vedaham samatitani varatamavani bhachajuna bhavashani chibhutani mampi vedana kashchana. I know everything past, I know everything present, I know all things that are yet to come, I know all living beings, I know all Vedas, I know everything, I know everyone. That's the Parama, that's Krishna. And yet he's inquiring from Ramananda Rai, what is the ultimate goal of life? Now, on one level, we can understand he's asking for our benefit, which he is. But he also wants the taste. He's eager to taste the sweetness of the devotional wisdom of Ramananda Rai.
Ramanandarai leads us through the various levels of knowledge and how to achieve it. He said, by following one's duties for the pleasure of Krishna in the Varnashram system, one can become Krishna conscious. That sounds good, doesn't it? So many people are talking about Varnashram these days. Following our Varna, following our Dharma, for the pleasure of Krishna, will bring about the ultimate goal of life. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something more. Ramananda Rai replies, by offering the results of our action for the pleasure of Krishna, we will achieve the ultimate. We will achieve the essence of perfection, he says. And he quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse, yat karoshi yat achnashi yat joshi tatasi yat yat tapasasi kompi yat tat kurushuma. All that you eat, all that you do, all that you give away, all that you know, everything should be done as an offering to me. How many of us are on that level now? That means every thought we have is an offering to Krishna. That is the essence of perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something. He just said, everything you do, you should offer to Krishna. And then he says, when we renounce everything, when we renounce our duties for the pleasure of Krishna, that is the essence of it. Sarva dharman paritya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masaja. Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Krishna protects. Lord Chaitanya heard that. He was happy. He said, yes. But say more. There is something more. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not a stereotyped religion. Ramananda Rai describes Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Devotional service based on deep knowledge mixed with profound knowledge is the essence of perfection. Ramabhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasarvesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Param. One who is on this state that he's describing now, the Brahmabhuta, he is Prasanatma. He's happy. He's joyful. He doesn't hanker for anything we don't have. We don't lament for anything. Hankering, lamenting. We want what we don't have. We lament for what is lost. And somewhere in the middle, we enjoy it. But even that joy and enjoyment is there's always insecurity and fear and hollowness. And such a person is a well-wishing friend of everyone. That's where bhakti really begins, when we're like that. We like to call ourselves bhaktas. Yes, I'm better than you because I'm a bhakta. But Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, when you're on the spiritual platform, when you're always joyful, when you're not hankering or lamenting, when you're a friend of everyone, that's when your bhakti really begins. Oh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're sitting there, the river is flowing, the moon is glistening. Lord Chaitanya says, that is Baya, that is external. Please tell me something more. And then he describes Jnana Sunya Bhakti, or Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. That is free devotional service when we're absorbed in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead without the desire for improvements in this world and without the desire even from liberation from the sufferings of this world. Simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirat hoksa jai hoitaki kaprati hataya yatma suprasudit. Pure dharma, the goal of life, is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He says, this is certainly true, but tell me something more. Ramananda Rai declared prema bhakti, ecstatic love, love that is connected with the ecstasy of the soul and which is experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna. He described that as a devotee experiences this prema, there is lolyam, there's the deep, deep eagerness to hear and chant and be connected with the love of Krishna. And he quotes Rupa Goswami, if you can purchase this, you should give anything and everything to get it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very happy. Can we go beyond prema bhakti? Lord Chaitanya requested Ramananda Rai to do so. Ramananda Rai described prema bhakti in the Dasya Rasa, in the mood of a servant. You see, prema is not stagnant. It's dynamic. And that is the special feature of Vaishnavism or bhakti. Sometimes people with the impersonal conception, they speak about Brahman, and their conception of prema is that non-differentiated peace within Brahman. There's a feeling of prema. But Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Rai to go deeper into this concept of prema. And Ramananda Rai describes dasya rasa. When prema is manifesting within our hearts in a desire to serve, to please Krishna. An example is given in Nectar of Devotion. I believe it was Daruka. He was fanning Krishna with the chamara, and there were so many tears of ecstatic love in his eyes. He was praying for that ecstasy of love to go away, because it was interfering his service. His feelings of ecstasy, if they're interfering with my giving Krishna happiness. That's dasya rasa. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai to go deeper. He described sakya rasa, to be a friend of Krishna, an equal, to play, to wrestle, to joke. When Krishna and the cowherd boys would be throughout the day together, no one was seeing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. The cowherd boys were just seeing Krishna as their most beloved friend. They wanted to protect him. They wanted to make him happy. Sometimes when they would wrestle, Krishna would lose. How does Krishna lose? In one sense, we can say Krishna, by his own sweet will, he lost. Because ultimately, he's all powerful. That's true. But then again, Krishna is overpowered by the love of his devotees. That is his sweet will. They would eat prasad together. And sometimes a cowherd boy would take a bite out of something their mother made and say, Krishna, this tastes very, very good. You should try. And the boy would put it in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna would eat it. And say, oh, this is very, very good. So all the boys are taking bites out of their food and giving it to Krishna because they wanted Krishna to enjoy what they were enjoying. Now, if we try to do that on the altar, we will definitely there will be reactions. We don't have that love. We cannot imitate that love, but that love is above our heads to be worshipped. But to speak of Yashoda Mayi and Vatsalya Rath, she's chastising Krishna. She's giving orders to Krishna. Open your mouth. I want to see if you ate dirt. She's raising a stick. Why did you steal butter? You must be punished. Tying Krishna to a mortar. She's thinking that Krishna's completely depending on her. After hearing all of these extraordinary expressions of prema bhakti that are exclusively practiced in the supreme abode of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear more. And Sri Ramananda Rai describes Madhurya Rasa, the love of the gopis.
And he explained that all the other rasas are included in Madhurya rasa. In this sense, the idea of high is in relationship to inclusiveness. All the elements of Santaras, Dasyaras, Satyaras, and Vatsalyaras are within Madhuryaras. In full. And still, there is something more. The gopis, the female associates of Srimati Radharani, are the practitioners of Madhurya Rasa. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, an absolute truth. Yayatamam papakyante tamstataya bhajanyam mamavartmani vartante manushya partha saranasha. As you surrender to me, I will proportionately reciprocate with you and reveal myself to you. That is a principle. When we're chanting the holy names, when we're coming before the deities, when we're dealing with each other as Vaishnavas, knowing that Krishna within the heart of that devotee who loves that devotee is going to reciprocate with how we approach him through that devotee. Ramananda Rai speaks from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna admits to the gopis, I have promised I will reciprocate accordingly, but I can't do that anymore for you. Because your love, your surrender, your detachment, your dedication is so great that I have no power to repay you. Even in an entire lifetime of Brahma, I do not have the capacity to repay your love for me. So I remain your debtor. Krishna's not just saying this. He means this. That is God. What is the stature of the gopis? The greatest acharyas, the greatest renunciates, the greatest knowers of the truth, they understand that the all-inclusive, highest realm of spiritual realization and divine love is within the hearts of the gopis. They control Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, certainly this is the limit. But please be merciful and try to tell something more. And thus begins our class today. The topmost of all the gopis is Srimati Radharani. And then he quotes this verse. Aniyaradipa nuvyam bhagavan harishwara yanno vihaya govinda ritoyam anayad raha. When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else among thousands and thousands of such gopis. Each one of them practicing the highest level of renunciation in pure ecstatic love. The gopis would decorate themselves to make Krishna happy. They would put oils and perfumes and ornaments on their bodies only to make Krishna happy. They would smile, they would sing, they would dance only to make Krishna happy. Their everything was for Krishna's happiness. Even though they were simple gopis, they weren't great kings organizing armies, conquering lands. They didn't have huge amounts of wealth, giving massive donations. All those things are good if they're done for Krishna. But the gopis were milking cows and singing and dancing. But yet there was nothing more priceless for Krishna, because Krishna sees the quality of the love in which we. On the Sarat Purnima, Krishna played his flute, and each gopi could hear within their ear and within their heart that Krishna was calling for them. And they put everything else aside, including their status, their reputation, even their dharma, what to speak of the security of their life. Because Krishna was calling. And when they all came, Krishna told them to all go home. And they cried because they knew Krishna wanted to enjoy with them. And there was the rasa dance. Krishna was between each gopi, and each gopi was thinking Krishna was with them. But simultaneously, Krishna was alone with Sri Radharani. But for the pleasure of Krishna, Sri Radha left the Rasa Lila Mandala. And not seeing her, even in the midst of the supreme lovers of the spiritual world, Krishna was not happy. He left all the gopis who had renounced everything for him to find Sri Radha. And Ramananda Rai quotes from various scriptures how Krishna was searching, lamenting, yearning, and longing to find Sri Radha. And all the other gopis were looking, where is Krishna? They were seeking everywhere, following his footprints. And here they saw the footprint of that gopi, Srimati Radharani, who is, her love is topmost. She pleases Krishna above and beyond everything and everyone. So this is the standard of value in the spiritual world. To what degree we please Krishna. And actually that should be the value of every devotee's life. It's not just the quantity of what we have or what we give. The real value is how much is this actually pleasing Krishna. And in the gopi sense, it could be something very simple. Could be the simplest thing. Because actually there's no material qualification or disqualification in bhakti. It's simply based on the sincerity of our heart, of our intent to please Krishna, to put Krishna in the center. Today is the appearance day, the special day of the year where we celebrate Srimati Radharani, Radhastami. At her birthplace in Vrindavan, it is called Raval, or Mukhya Ravali. At her birth site, the great grandson of Lord Sri Krishna, Vajranath, installed the deities of Larali Love. Larali is Radha, who is the most beautiful girl, and Krishna Lal, Lala, is the most beautiful son. And there are various descriptions in different days of Brahma or Kalpas of the birth of Sri Radha. I will speak one. In the Garga Samhita, it is described that a very, very great deva sage named Suchandra and his wife Kalavati, they were actually expansions of the original mother and father of Radharani, Prishabhanu and Kirtita. They performed 10,000 years of tapasya. They would only eat the dry leaves that fell from trees. With the single purpose to give birth, to be the mother and the father of the eternal supreme consort of the Lord. Lord Brahma bestowed that benediction upon them. Suchandra became Prishabhanu. Kalavati became Kirtida. Prishabhanu Maharaj in 1968 in Montreal, Srila Prabhupada tells the story that he was plowing a field and from under the ground Srimati Radharani appeared. Puranas describe that Narada Muni was asking Lord Brahma how this happened. as Lord Brahma tells, that Brishabhanu and Kirtida, they had no children. For many years, they wanted this daughter. They descended from the spiritual world of Goloka especially to bring Sri Radharani into the world and to love her and serve her as mother and father. So Brishabhanu Maharaj was performing a yajna, a special yajna with Brahmins, where they would do all the rituals for the purpose of attracting the supreme Swadini Shakti of the Lord to be his daughter. He had a golden plow. As he was plowing, the plow was turning over the earth. Under the plow, as the earth opened up and turned over, most beautiful baby girl came out from Mother Earth. Her complexion was resplendent gold. Brishabhanu Maharaj lifted her up in her arms. Inexpressible love, he held this little baby girl, just born, so tender. The aroma of her body filled the entire universe. And he carried her home, brought her to his good wife, Kirtida. Kirtida embraced the little baby. Tears from her heart, the love of her heart coming through her eyes in the form of motherly love. As the days passed, little Radha, she would not open her eyes, nor would she acknowledge any sound or make a sound. They became worried. Narada Muni, he heard that Krishna had appeared. So he went to Gokula, and he went to Nanda Bhavan, where he saw little Gopal, who was just born, the son of Nanda and Yashoda. And he celebrated in great love. As he left Nanda and Yashoda's house, he understood 15 days have passed and more, that certainly Krishna's eternal book, internal potency, Radha, must have come. Lord Brahma told Narada Muni, always explaining this story, that the demigods, along with Mother Earth in the form of a cow, they went with Brahma to the shore of the ocean of milk. And they prayed. They prayed that arrogant rulers are exploiting the people of the world and exploiting the resources of material nature. And Krishna promised he would appear. In Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna told Srimati Radharani that I am going to incarnate on the earth. please come with me. Srimati Radharani, she agreed. She said, we will find our real happiness if you bring Govardhan Hill, the river Yamuna, and the forest of Vrindavan. Krishna responded, they are already there waiting for us. So in this way, Srimati Radharani, she was born coming out of Mother Earth. It's very interesting because Sita also was born when Janaka Maharaj was plowing the earth. Radharani is the source of all the goddesses of fortune, the sources of Lakshmi, the source of all the goddesses, Parvati, Chandi, Durga, Kali, and Bhumi, Mother Earth. As Mother Earth, Bhumi Devi, she is supplying literally everything to all those who are living on her planet, including us. And she's also the medium by which her own source, Sri Radha and Sri Sita, come to show us mercy and blessings. To live with respect and in harmony with the environment of Mother Earth is not just something we do to make the world a better place for the next generation. It is inseparable from our devotion to Sri Radha and Sita. You cannot really have bhakti unless we have this awareness. And it is for that reason that our beloved Srila Prabhupada established farm communities to teach living in a respectful, harmonious way with Mother Nature. So Narada Muni was searching all around Vrindavan, looking for Srimati Radharani. And he came to the home of Vrishabhanu and asked if he had children. Vrishabhanu brought Sridhama, the elder brother of Radharani. In great happiness, Narada Muni blessed Sridhama. You will become best friends with Krishna and Balaram. You will be their constant companion and play with them always. And then Vrishabhanu said, we have a child, we have a little daughter, a baby daughter, but she doesn't open up her eyes or acknowledge any sounds. Please bless her. Narada Muni went into a room with Srimati Radharani. He saw a little infant baby girl laying on her little bed. And he saw the beautiful goddess of his heart. Narada Muni, he had met Sita, Lakshmi, Ramba, Parvati, Urvasi. He had met the most beautiful goddesses throughout history. But no beauty compared with this little infant baby that was laying on the bed. And he understood that she was Krishna's eternal consort from the spiritual world. And in his heart he prayed to see that form of Sri Radharani where she gives the most pleasure to Krishna. Shirata manifested her swarup of Kishori Radha, where she was 14 years old and her sakis surrounded her, fully dressed in beautiful garments. Srimati Radharani gave this darshan to Narada Muni and blessed him. He considered it the ultimate fortune. He never experienced happiness like this ever. Narada Muni was born at the beginning of creation from Lord Brahma. He plays his veena, he travels around, he's met every incarnation, goes wherever he wants to go. But never has he experienced such happiness as receiving the blessing of Srimati Radharani. And then she becomes a little baby again. And Narada Muni is, he can't say anything. He's stunned and anand, stunned and anand. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Sridhama and Kirtida, they are asking Narada, what happened? What's wrong? And he said, everything is fine. He said, I think you should have a festival to invite people to celebrate her birth. And then he left playing his veena. Purnamasi, the guru of Vrindavan, who was a disciple of Narada Muni, upon seeing Srimati Radharani, the little baby, and how she wouldn't open her eyes, Purnamasi said, have a festival to celebrate her birth and invite Nanda, Yashoda, and their newborn son, Krishna. So they did this. Yashoda Mai and Kirtida were very, very best friends, as were Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj. So when Nanda, Yashoda, and Krishna was a little tiny baby, only a couple weeks old, Yashoda Mai carried him, and they came to Raval. And they met Vrishabhanu, and they all saw the little baby Sri Radharani and marveled over her beauty and her grace. And as the parents were talking, Krishna crawled off Yashoda Mai's lap and crawled to the little cradle where Srimati Radharani was laying. And he reached up, and he put his face right in front of Radha's face and touched her. At that moment, Srimati Radharani's, for the first time ever, her eyes opened. She had no desire to see anything except Krishna. She descended from Goloka Vrindavan simply to see Krishna, to please Krishna. Radharani stared into Krishna's eyes. Krishna stared into Sri Radharani's eyes. And in this incarnation, this was their first meeting. And in glancing in each other's eyes, their ecstatic love manifested between them. And upon seeing Krishna, Radharani cried out in ecstasy. And when the Brijavasis and the family members saw this, they celebrated. the love of Radha and Krishna for each other permeated the hearts of all the family of Nanda, Yashoda, and Vrishabhanu and Kirtika. And all the Brijabasis and all the residents of Vrindavan were sharing and experiencing the same love as Radha and Krishna were sharing with one another. And it was a great festival. The Brijabasis, even to this day, they chant Jai Shri Radhe. Radhe, Radhe. After 7 months, it was the time of the Anaprashna. And in Raval, they were performing a ceremony where they took paramana, or sweet rice, and they had very qualified Brahmins performing a whole yajna with many various procedures and rituals to infuse the paramana with blessings before offering it to Srimati Radharani. So Kirtita is sitting beside Yashoda Mai. Little baby Radharani, who's 7 months old now, is sitting on her lap. And next to Kirtita, Yashoda Mai is sitting with Krishna on her lap. Now, as the Brahmins are doing their rituals and preparing the paramana for Srimati Radharani, Krishna's hungry. So Yashoda Mai has Krishna's own little bowl of sweet rice, and she's feeding him on her lap. And Srimati Radharani, very sweetly, without anybody really seeing, she reached over, she put her hand in the pot that Yashoda was feeding Krishna from, and she snatched some of Krishna's paramana, that was his Mahaprasad, and she ate that. That was her first grains, Krishna's Mahaprasad. But then Krishna, after she took prasad from Krishna's pot, when Yashoda Mai put that Mahaprasad in Krishna's mouth, then Krishna tasted Radharani's Mahaprasad. In this way, Srimati Radharani and Krishna are constantly sharing their Mahaprasad with each other and with the world. When they were little children in Bhadrasana, there are four hills, which are actually the four heads of Brahma. Lord Brahma is the secondary creator of the entire universe. Krishna's more or less alone in the universe, Lord Narayan. And a lotus flower blossoms from his navel, Padmanabha. And Lord Brahma is born from that lotus flower. He's Atmabhu. And he's all alone. And ultimately, he's the one who, on behalf of Krishna, he's creating everything and progenating all kinds of species of life and everything in this universe. He lives 311 trillion years. He's the father of everybody. Lord Brahma performed tapasya because he wanted to get the dust of the feet of Srimati Radharani on his head, and he wanted to assist her in her pastimes with her devotees. So with Srimati Radharani's blessings, he became his foreheads became the four hills of Barsana. One of them is Vilaskar. Please raise your hands if you have been to Vilaskar. There is Bangar, Dangar, Mangar, and Vilaskar. When Srimati Radharani was a young girl, her and her friends were playing in the sand up there. It's very fine sand. And they were playing so many simple pastimes. They were drawing artwork in the sand. They were building little palaces and castles in the sand. Doing so many things that children do. Krishna wanted to come to be with her. He was a young boy. So he comes to Vilaskar. And Srimati Radharani's friends see him approaching. And they said, no, no, you cannot come in. Because Radharani's playing and we're all playing with her. And there's no place for you. So they would not allow her in. Now Krishna's the supreme controller of all controllers. If it was some of us, we would say, get out of my way. Who are you to tell me not to come? Krishna humbled himself. If the gopis are telling me I can't come in, then I won't come in. But he wanted so much to be with his little Radharani that instead of transgressing the gopis' desire, he performed a wonderful pastime. By his yogamaya potency, all of a sudden, a swirling wind came upon Vilaskar. And the swirling wind made all the sand and the dust go into the air. And nobody could see anything. Nobody could see anyone. All the sakis, the gopis, They had to put their hands over their eyes because there was so much dust. But where Radharani was, there was no dust, nothing. And suddenly she saw everybody all around, all her friends. There was dust everywhere. Nobody could see anything. And she felt that she was in Krishna's embrace. And she turned to him and there was Krishna. And they were together. It was like a bubble where Radha and Krishna were sitting. They were just little children playing. They were playing together and talking together. It was like a bubble where there was no dust, no sand. But the whole rest of the hill was a sandstorm where nobody could see anything. And in this way, they enjoyed their wonderful pastimes in Vilaskar. And then the sandstorm ended, and everybody could see, and the gopis opened their eyes, and Krishna was nowhere to be seen. But when they looked at Srimati Radharani, she was so happy that everyone understood. Such simple pastimes in the dust and the sand. You know, we need so many facilities to try to be happy. We need gadgets. We need cell phones and computers and houses. We need so many things. And however much we get, we always need something better and something newer and something nothing ever lasts. And as far as giving us satisfaction, and we're trying to get so many things to be happy. But in Vrindavan, They had dust. They had sand. And they had each other. And they were completely happy. This is bhakti. There's another place close to Bilaspur is Dhangar. How many have you been? Below Dhangar is where they do tax pastimes. And below there is Sankarikur. Sankarikur, there's two mountains, and they kind of come together on the bottom, and it's a narrow passage, and gopis would make so many nice milk products, and they would specially go there hoping and praying that Krishna and his friends would come to steal their butter, their yogurt, their ghee, and all their preparations. They would milk their cows. They would feed their cows. They would make their preparations fixed exclusively in the mood that let me put so much love and so much devotion and emotion into this preparation that Krishna will come to steal it. But to give pleasure to Krishna, when Krishna comes to steal it, they chastise him. Call him a thief and everything. So these pastimes are described in so many literatures. One time when Krishna came to Sankarikur, the gopis had their clay pots on their heads and in their arms, and Krishna had his friends with sticks. And they had so many conversations and argumentations, and the gopis would chastise him in their hearts, just praying and longing, please enjoy what I've made for you. But they're saying, no, you cannot have it. Who do you think you are to do this? And finally Krishna with his stick, he would knock the bowls off their heads, and he and his friends would steal everything and take it. So one time the gopis wanted to get revenge. So Srimati Radharani and gopis, they were hiding in the bushes. And they had just a few gopis who were decoys. They had pots on their heads and they were passing. The others were hiding. When Krishna and his friends came to tax these few gopis who had the pots on their heads, who were apparently passing through Sankarikur, all the other gopis came out of the forest and captured Krishna and his friends. They tied them up. They took their hair and tied them to the rocks. And one time, the gopis, they dressed Krishna as a gopi. They put a sari on Krishna. They put kajal, mascaras on Krishna. They gave him earrings and a nose ring, and necklaces, painted his feet with red dyes. They made him just like a gopi. And then they put a pot of yogurt on his head. And he said, now we're going to tax you. And meanwhile, all Krishna's friends are watching. They didn't do this to the Krishna's friends. They only did it to Krishna. But the friends were afraid of the gopis. So they just stood by watching. And Krishna's standing there.
and they're chastising him, just like the gopas did to the gopis, and saying, give me your butter, Lalita Sakhi, Sri Radharani's, like her guru and closest associate, Lalita Sakhi was standing on a hill close by. This is a good story. Lalita Sakhi took a rock and threw it at the pot on Krishna's head. It cracked it, and all the yogurt fell upon Krishna. His whole face was covered with yogurt. All his clothes were covered with yogurt. He was soaked with runny liquid yogurt. And the gopis were all laughing at him. And Krishna's friends, they were all secretly smiling. And Krishna was in a totally embarrassed state. On Janmashtami, Radhashtami, soon we'll be having Abhishekam, where we cover Krishna's body with yogurt. Well, you'll get a darshan of this pastime. Another time. Radharani and her gopis, they captured Krishna and they said, when he was trying to tax them, he said, we want to tax you. So in order for this to be done properly, Krishna, you have to become Radharani. And all the gopis have to be, and all the gopas have to become gopis. And Radharani said, I'll become you, Krishna, and all my gopis will become gopas. And then you'll understand what it's like to be taxed by. And they decided to do this on the top of the hill. That's called Dangar. And this pastime took place where Radha and the gopis in the form of gopas taxed Krishna in the form of gopis. And there's a temple there. It's called the Radha Dan Bihari Temple. How many have been there? If you speak to the pujari, only a few people know this, the pujaris and us. But it's a Radha Krishna temple, but they say, pujaris will say, this is a secret, but actually, in this temple, we worship Krishna as Radha and Radha as Krishna, because that is the lila of this place. The supremacy of Braj Bhakti was described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Venkata Bhatta and his brothers, Prabodhananda and Trimala Bhatta. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami was present. He was describing, you are a devotee of Narayan. Tell me, why Lakshmi, the consort of your Narayan, came, she left Narayan because she wanted to be part of the Rasa Leela of Krishna in Vrindavan. Venkata Bhatta said that Narayan and Krishna are the same person. There's one absolute truth. They're the same God.
There's no difference. So if Lakshmi wants to go there, there's no fault for her. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's true. They are the same. And there's no fault in Lakshmi. But why was she not allowed to go into the Rasleela? There's a place called Balavan or Srivan where she performed meditation for a long time in tapasya because she wanted to go in Rasleela. But the gopis said, you have to become a gopi. That means you have to renounce your role as the goddess of fortune. You have to start milking cows. You have to take dung of the cows and with your own hands make them into patties and carry them on your head. And Lakshmi Devi, she's the goddess of fortune. She's the consort of Narayan. That's not how she can please Narayan. So she was not able to give up, you know, her identity. But she was given the opportunity to see the Rasleela from Srivan. Mahaprabhu said, why she wasn't allowed? Venkata Bhatta didn't really have an answer to that. And then Lord Chaitanya said, actually, they're the same. And at that point, Venkata Bhatta said, as far as I know, understand now, you are Radha and Krishna, and I will follow the path of the loving service of Radha and Krishna. It is the most inclusive, sweetest, and purest path of bhakti. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells a story. During the Rasa Leela of Govardhan, Basanta Rasa, one time Krishna was hiding from gopis, and the gopis were searching for him. They happened to see him sitting under a tree. They came running to him. Krishna's thinking, they caught me. What am I going to do? So he manifested his own eternal form of Narayan, Vishnu, the all-pervading supreme master of the universe, the Lord of Vaikuntha. He was sitting there in such a regal pose with four arms, each one holding the conch shell, the Sudarshan chakra, the club and the lotus flower. The gopis saw the supremely beautiful form of Narayan standing before them. And they bowed down. Narayan said, you may ask any blessing from me. The gopis, with great reverence, they said, oh, supreme, almighty Narayan, the only blessing we desire, please tell us where we could find Krishna and give us the blessing that with our love and devotion, we will please Krishna. And Narayan, with his four arms, he pointed the direction into the forest. And gopis went running. They bowed down again to Narayan. Thank you, thank you, thank you, O beloved Supreme Lord, and ran to find Krishna. A few moments later, Srimati Radharani came searching for Krishna. and Krishna was already sitting in his majestic form of Narayana. And she came before Krishna. She came before Narayana. And with her folded palms, she offered his obeisances. And in the presence of Radha's love, it was literally impossible for Krishna to remain as Narayana. How is it impossible? The Almighty Supreme Narayana, he was so conquered. He tried with all his might to keep this disguise like he did for the other gopis. But when Radharani asked, "Where is Krishna?" the sweetness of her voice, the love of her glance, the presence of her heart, he struggled. But Radharani defeated him without even trying. Two of his arms just melted away. And all the weapons disappeared. And he was just sitting there holding his flute by the power of Sri Radha's love. That place is still present. In fact, Brajanav, great-grandson of Krishna, installed the deity of Paita Bihari near Govardhan Hill. During the Rasa Lila, we have read and discussed that when Radharani and Krishna when Krishna found Srimati Radharani, he took her to a place called Sringarvat on the bank of Yamuna River in Vrindavan, and there he decorated her. Krishna personally wandered about collecting the best of flowers, the best of leaves, just to decorate Krishna, I mean Sri Radha. Some of you in your worship of deities, either in the temple of Radha Gopinath or in your homes, you go out to collect flowers, to decorate the deities. Krishna is doing this. Worship of Srimati Radharani. And she was sitting under a banyan tree. Krishna was decorating. He was sitting behind her, combing her hair, putting flowers on her body and her hair, giving perfumes, giving ornaments. In this Sringarbhat, that is the place that Nityananda Prabhu chose to live when he was living in Vrindavan. It is also called Nityananda Pad. Who is Nityananda Prabhu? He's Balaram. Rajendra Nandana Jai Sachishuta Vailose Balarama Hoi Lonita. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated Balaram Jayanti. When we were meditating upon Lord Balaram, who is the supreme personality of servitor God. He's the original expansion of Krishna, who literally, he's the supreme enjoyer. He's Vishnu, he's Krishna Tattva. The entire spiritual world is an expansion of Balaram. Balaram becomes Krishna's shoes. He expands himself to be Krishna's clothes, Krishna's jewels, Krishna's bed, Krishna's chair. In every way, Balaram is serving Krishna. But what is Balaram's motive? He knows Balaram's of Krishna Tattva. He's the supreme enjoyer. Shiva Tanani is the supreme enjoyed. She's the Shakti. Balaram knows that the ultimate supreme most pleasure for Krishna is Radha's love. Sri Balaramji knows that the supreme pleasure for all the residents of Vrindavan, including the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda and all the peacocks and the parrots and everyone, the supreme pleasure permeating everything is Radha's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for Radha. So when Narottam Das Thakur prays that without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot enter into the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we understand it in this context. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, of all the places in the whole of Brajabhumi, he chose to make his residence at Sringarbhat, the place where Krishna takes the humblest position of decorating Srimati Radharani and rendering the most simple services for her pleasure, combing her hair, collecting flowers for her. And it was that place that Nityananda Prabhu waited for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to begin his Sankirtan movement. And then he went to Navadvipa. So during the beautiful dance, Rasa, Krishna left Srimati Radharani to increase her love. And Srimati Radharani went to a place that is now called Manasarovar. There, in her feelings of separation from Krishna, in her feelings of transcendental guilt, that I'm not worthy of Krishna, why did I make such a mistake of thinking that I'm so important? And in her transcendental stage of anger, why Krishna left me? She wept incessant tears. And those tears filled the small lake that is called Manasarovar. When Lord Shiva, came to Vrindavan, because he is Ishvara, supreme master of yogis, he understood that the perfection of yoga, in the mood of what Ramananda Rai has taught us, is the loving pastimes of Krishna in the gopis, culminating in Srimati Radharani. And he wanted to participate. So he came to Vrindavan. And Yogamaya explained to him that you are in a male body. The gopis are females. Go to Manasarovar. That is where Sri Radha's tears are. And pray. Pray and do your bhajan there for the pleasure of Srimati Radhakant. And with the blessings of the Sakis, Lord Shiva was given the blessing to take his bath in Mansarovar. The power of Srimati Radharani's tears and Lord Shiva's own sincere prayer, he submerged into the, as the great Ishvara. And he came out from the kund as Gobeshwara. He was now a girl. He was a simple gopi girl. Not all-powerful gopi. He was a simple gopi girl. And he was in total happiness, the perfection of all of his desires. But still, he had his little crescent moon on her head and a little Ganga coming out of her hairs. But a very sweet, beautiful little gopi girl. And she came and Srimati Radharani greeted him, greeted her. And the gopis and Krishna gave her the service of being the guardian of the Rasmandala, where nobody could come in or out of the Raslila without Lord Shiva's blessings and permission. And Vajranath established there the deity of Gopeshwar Mahadev. And so important. Some of us, we go to Rishikesh and we see so many Shiva lingams and so many temples of Shiva. And Shiva being such a great yogi. Some even go to the top of Kailash Mountain to see Lord Shiva. And those are wonderful pilgrimages. But where does Lord Shiva love to be the most? In Vrindavan, in the form of a gopi. Rendering service. If anyone in this universe is the ultimate male personality, it seems to be Lord Shiva, yes? But yet, his aspiration to be a gopi girl. Because that's where the most rasa, that is where the most love, that is where the highest intimate perfection of yoga in its most condensed and pure form, the experiences. And on the day of Shivaratri, all of the pujaris from all of the main temples of Vrindavan, especially the Gaudiya temples, they all have a particular time of the day that they could come to worship Lord Shiva. During the mornings, he's a Shiva Lingam, where everyone offers abhishekes with water from Yamuna, water from sacred kunds, milk, yogurt, panchamrita, panchakavya, so many prayers. And in the evening, Lord Shiva's dressed with a sari and earrings, his nose wings. And beautiful gopi where we offer our prayers. In Nidivan, one of the holy forests of Vrindavan, there is the Ranga Mahal during Rasa Lila. Srimati Radharani and Krishna take rest there. The gopis make a bed for them and they go to sleep and the mandaris do sevas. and these Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he tells story that once while they were sleeping in Nidipan, Srimati Radharani woke up and she told Krishna, I had an extraordinary dream. In this dream, there was a river, and the river was so much like the Yamuna River, but was another river. And on the bank of the river, there was this most beautiful, extraordinary golden form. He was a man. And with his arms raised, he was chanting kirtan. He was chanting our holy names. And there were thousands and thousands of people following him, all chanting our names. Sometimes he would be crying, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And sometimes he was crying, where is Radha? Where is Radha? I'm confused. Who is he? Is he me looking for you? Or is he you looking for me? Who is this personality? And Krishna was very happy. And the realization was revealed that this personality has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who Radha and Krishna, Radha Bhavaduti Supalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupa. Krishna appears with the love in the heart and the Mahabhava of Sri Radha. The two become one. In the Prem Vilas, in the Prem Vivarta, Jagadananda Pandit raises this question. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. The two, Radha, Gopinath, become Mahaprabhu. Maha means Mahabhav, the love of Radha. Prabhu is the Supreme Master Krishna. Mahaprabhu means Radha Krishna. So he asks, is it that the one Lord Chaitanya became Radha and Krishna, or is it that the two Radha Krishna became Lord Chaitanya? Which happened first? Jagadananda Pandit is raising this question. Do any of us dare to give an answer? He knew he wouldn't, so he gave his own answer. Jagadananda Pandit said, they're both correct because they are both simultaneously existing forever. In the spiritual world, there is Lord Chaitanya and there is Radha and Krishna. The inconceivable nature of the spirit. In Bangar, in Barasara, there is the pastime of holy. Holy is a war of love. In certain ways, we can say that all the wars of this world are a perverted reflection of holy. You know, holy, you know, they have ways of throwing the powders, and it looks like they're exploding like bombs. They have syringes of holy waters, beautiful colors from natural dyes, minerals, and powders. And they have sweets. These are their weapons. Their weapons are sweets. Their weapons are powders that have the most illuminating colors and the most intoxicating fragrances. Not like the colors today. When the gopis make these colors, they have an ambrosial fragrance and a mystifying luminance in the colors. And they're so gentle to be touched by. And these waters and their spray guns are so refreshing to be touched by. And they make so many sweets. It's like, you know, the place where they make weapons. You know, in this perverted material world, we have places where we make tanks and bombs. Well, they have like that, where they're making all of their wonderful weapons for holy. And the idea is to defeat the other side. But what is that defeat? To defeat with love. In India, sometimes, usually, holy is quite ghastly. It's more in the mood of Kurukshetra than Vrindavan. You know, people just throw colors in your face and it hurts, and they ruin your clothes. Sometimes people don't even go out of their house because they don't want to be assaulted by holy people. But in Vrindavan, it's very, very pleasing. The whole purpose of it is to make the other person happy with love. And the more happy you make the other person, the more you're defeating that person. And whoever can make the other the happiness, whoever gives the most happiness is the winner. And Krishna and his friends are on one side, Srimati Radharani and her friends are on the other side, and they are playing and they are giving sweets to each other and they're putting dyes and they're playing music and they're dancing, trying to defeat the other with their love. Trying to give most happiness to the other. And as far as we understand, Srimati Radharani's side is always victorious. You know, as far as fighting, Krishna killed Aristasura, Trinavarta, Putana. He killed so many demons. There's no problem with him overcoming anyone. But yet he's defeated by the gentle and sweet love of the gopis. And Krishna, he finds infinite more pleasure. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami says that Krishna finds more pleasure when the old ladies of Vrindavan chastise him with very harsh words than he does when the great saints praise him with Vedas and hymns. Because it's based on affection. There is the story in Unshugao. There was a sadhu, and he would do parikrama of the whole Brajamandala area every day before he would eat or drink. He would do, for that area of Braj that he may be, he would do the whole parikrama, fast until he finished. He had long matted hair. One day in the Umshagong area, as he was chanting the holy names and walking, his hair got caught in a thicket of thorn bushes. You know how the thorn bushes in Vrindavan could be. So he was helplessly caught in the thorn bushes, and there were razor sharp thorns. So he couldn't really move, and he couldn't get himself out. Hour after hour, he was trapped. Krishna in person, in his original form, he comes before this sadhu and says, "I'll help you out." And he helps the sadhu out of the thorn bushes. And he said, "Now it's very, very late at night. I brought food for you. So please eat your food, because you haven't eaten all day and now it's late at night. There's nowhere else for you to get." And the sadhu asks, "I cannot eat food because I didn't finish the parikrama." Krishna said, "Well, why are you doing your parikrama?" Sadhu said, "I'm doing my parikrama to please Krishna." The boy said, "I am Krishna. I'm pleased. So eat prasad, that will please me more." And the sadhu said, "Which Krishna are you? Are you the Krishna of Vrindavan, of Mathura, or of Dwarka?" And Krishna said, "I am the Krishna of Vrindavan." And the sadhu said, "I'm sorry. Unless Srimati Radharani comes here and authorizes you, I cannot take you." So at that moment, Radharani appeared. He said, "Do you authorize this person?" And she said, "This is my Krishna of Vrindavan." And immediately the sadhu did his dandavat pranams to Krishna's lotus feet and accepted his mahaprasad. So this is very much mood of Vrindavan. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was with his devotees at Sri Radha Kund, once when they were there together, this very wealthy landowner from Bharatpur, who was like a Maharaj, he came there with his family. And they were doing dandavat parikrama around Sri Radha Kund. And one of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples went to Guru Maharaj and said, "Just see the emotion of this very powerful great man. He and his whole family, they have so much devotion to Radha Kunda doing Dandavat Pranams all around. And they'd do full prostration and then they'd make a little marking and then start another prostration. And Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada said, this is very good, but it is different than us. He said, we are opposite. He said, he is doing Dandavat Parikrama at Radha Kuni because he's praying to Radharani to give him devotion to Krishna. He said, but when we do parikrama of Radha Kund, we are praying for devotion to Sri Radharani. Raghunath Das Goswami prayed in that way also. He's praying in separation. Oh, Sri Radharani, in your separation, every moment is like a yoga. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting for you to accept me as your servant. Even the land of Vrindavan, which is more dear to my life and soul, and even Krishna himself, the supreme object of love, I have no concern even from them unless I am pleasing you, Sri Radharani. This is the mood that Rupa Goswami taught. Kaviraj Goswami tells that Srimati Radharani is like a creeper who is embracing Krishna. And through her love, the sweetest, most intimate love of Krishna, she is absorbing. And the flowers that are on her creeper, the manjaris, the sakis, they are not only experiencing Sri Radha's love for Krishna, but they're experiencing Krishna's love for Radha. If we approach Krishna directly, we receive Krishna's love for us. But if we are an assistant of Srimati Radharani, a servant of a servant of a servant of Radha, we taste Krishna's love for Radha. And because of Krishna's supreme love for Sri Radha, whoever is the servant of the servant of the servant, even 10 million times down servant of the servant of the servant, is most dear to Krishna. This is Radhasti. When Uddhava saw the nature of Radha in her separation from Krishna in Nandagram, her prayer, she was talking to a bird, she was talking to a bumblebee, expressing her anguish and separation from Krishna. She was talking to a bird flying in the sky, coming from the direction of Mathura, expressing her anguish and separation from Krishna. That my body is like a house, and my soul is like a little domestic animal in the house. And the house is on fire. it's rapidly burning completely down. And the soul wants to get out, but it can't. Because there's a lock on the door. There's a lock on the door that will not let me out. And the lock, Krishna, was your promise that you will come back to Vrindavan. When Krishna left with the Krona to Mathura, he promised, I will come back. And even though so many months were passing and years were passing, still, I live for Krishna. Just like the soul in our body is within this little house of the body. And we want to give up our life without Krishna. But we will never do that. Because if Krishna ever does come back, he'll be pleased if I serve him and with love and devotion. And that was keeping Sri Radharani alive. Uddhava was Krishna's best friend. He was with them almost day and night in Mathura. He was a great scholar. But yet, because he was Krishna's best friend, Krishna sent him to Vrindavan to see the quality of the gopis' love. And Uddhava, he was crying compared to the gopis, the gopas, to Sri Radha. I have no real love for Krishna at all. I'm with him all the time. They're never with him, but they're always with him in their love, and I'm never really with him in comparison. This most majestic, handsome, healthy prince of Dwarka, Uddhava, is praying, let me be a little shrub, a little shrub growing in the ground of Govardhan, so that Sri Radha gopis or even a cow may step on my head, and by getting their dust I will receive a portion of their love. And he's actually praying. That is the extent he's appreciating the love and the mercy of Sri Radha. In Kurukshetra, after many years of separation, Sri Radha and gopis came to meet Krishna during the solar eclipse. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Ratha Yatra in Puri, he revealed the inner secret of that exchange. Sri Radharani is expressing in the most spiritually pathetic state her cries for Krishna to return to Vrindavan. Why? Simply because she knows Krishna is happiest in Vrindavan. The gopis could have moved to Dwarka, but they were willing to suffer separation from Krishna because they knew that Krishna finds the most happiness in Vrindavan. And he would find the most happiness in their love and separation. And that is the Ratha Yatra, Radharani's prayer to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu celebrate. Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows everything. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read, Krishna sees a reflection of himself in a pillar, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Even Krishna is struck with wonder with the beauty. But he's not thinking how beautiful I am. He's thinking, this beauty, I cannot calculate. Only Radharani can calculate it. What is the feeling when Radharani sees my beauty? I am a limitless ocean of love. I am Karuna Sindhu. But only Radharani really tastes it. What is Radharani's experience when she feels my love? What is the nature of her love? Krishna incarnates as Lord Chaitanya to answer these questions. To experience the glories of Sri Radha's love. And in the mood of Sri Radha's love, she is Karunamayi. She's the very embodiment, ocean of compassion. She wants to share her love with everyone. In the Parakiya Ras, sometimes in Vrindavan, people may criticize Radharani. But Radharani doesn't mind. She's only thinking, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to properly please Krishna. If only all these things people said were true. But I'm not qualified. This is the nature of the Supreme Lover. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would claim, I have no love for Krishna. If I had any love for Krishna, I could not live without him. But I'm living. That means I have no love. This is Radharani's sentiments. The Supreme Love, the supreme ecstasy of love, is naturally the humblest love. In Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spread the glories of Sri Radha's love by establishing the Sankirtan movement. Chaito Darpana Marajana Anandam Udiparatana. When he traveled in South India after taking sannyas, he took sannyas so he could reach people who were avoiding his mercy. He was spreading love of God everywhere.
And when he returned to Puri in Rathi Ashram and walked in Gambira with Ramanarayan and Sarudamana Goswami, he tasted and revealed the highest forms of spiritual happiness in celebration, and tasting the sweetness and feelings of separation. It was on the Gambhira, while feeling these intense separations, he wrote to Shikshastakam. Shikshastakam is Sri Radharani's heart being revealed to us in a set of instructions. And all the great Vaishnava literatures, the very essence is in the Shikshastakam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Sri Radha's brain, to be a speck of dust in the feet of Krishna. But not just the dust of Bombay. Because that kind of dust never goes in the feet of Krishna. The dust in the feet of Krishna is just dying. It's pure, ever enlightened consciousness in the form of ecstatic love. That is how much hatred that you are from all, just humbling yourself. Even a single speck of dust from Vrindavan. It's so supremely glorious. I want to be that. That is not an honest love. You may embrace me. You may keep me away, or you may make me brokenhearted by not being present. You are my brother.
And our hoping others saw it.
we want to do anything and everything that we can within our means to please Krishna. Not pleasing the characters. By having a pleasing atmosphere where people can come and feel happy with it.